The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
G'day, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Today we're catching up again with Tolga Komova here in lockdown Melbourne. We last had Tolga on the podcast in early June when he was, as always, buzzing with ideas in the junior mining space. Since then I've managed to squeeze in a birthday lunch with Tolga and his posse at China's Town's Bamboo House. Very nice it was too. At the small and socially distanced gathering, Tolga seemed deep in thought, presumably because Melbourne was headed into its latest lockdown, once again preventing a man who sees the world as his oyster from getting out and about. Byron has to wait. Sure enough, Tolga was deep in thought, saying there was a warning he wanted to get out there, a warning to the retail investors that have flooded into the market since the March low. Unkindly referred to noobs and Robin Hoods, the new brigade have been opening trading accounts like there is no tomorrow, punting away in the gold stocks and other explorers, often with a pin or dart as their only guiding light. That worries Tolga, so I've asked him to come back to the podcast and share his concerns with the listeners and what advice he has for the newbies to investing in the junior space. So with that, I'm going to say g'day, Tolga, and welcome to the podcast.
Mate, every time you introduce me, I do chuckle, and it is very entertaining. You're making me sound like someone that's... got a lot to say, and I kind of do this juncture.
That's it. There we go.
Thanks for having me on again.
Sure. Now, tell us about those concerns. What are you seeing out there? What can new investors do to mitigate the dangers of jumping in blindly?
Yeah, first I'll start with an example. And I get, you know, all these Twitter messages and Instagram messages talking about wanting information or advice about how to invest, what to invest in, what specific stocks. And I used to be a stockbroker. I'm not anymore. So everything I say is should be considered general advice. I'm not giving personal financial advice. I don't know your background or your history or your risk parameters that you have associated with your investments. But there was one group that reached out to me, and it actually scared me. It was a husband and wife couple who owned a house. They'd sold it, and they were looking to buy gold explorers with the funds. And all I could think was, this is a recipe for disaster. And my advice was, go get a stockbroker, go see someone that's got a licensed financial advisor who's going to go through what they call know your client. All right. There's a process when you're opening a stockbroking account. Knowing your client is knowing what assets they have, what income they've got, what they're used to investing in, what experience they have, and going through the whole process. And it's so important you do this as a new investor. You don't want to turn up. And another example, another couple. It wasn't even a couple; just the husband messaged me saying, "We've got 50 grand that me and my partner have saved, and we're looking to as a house deposit, and we're looking to put it into shares right now before buying a house, see if we can make some money and utilize it." Hadn't told his wife, and wanting to put it all into one stock. Now, what I do and how I mitigate all this risk, I've got probably 40 different positions in the stock market. 40 different investments. You might know of 10 of them that I talk about that I've got more conviction on, but my risk is mitigated across that larger positions. And the other thing to remember, these people don't have experience. So I'm not talking, this is not advice for people that have been doing this for years. You know, traders, they've been making a lot of money out of this market, and rightly so. It's been quite exciting. Lots of companies doing lots of things. So it has been exciting. So it's warranted in a lot of cases. But I've seen some examples, and I'll give you a couple stocks. And I don't even know what these companies do, but there's a one called ESK. I'll just give you the codes, ESKATH. The thing called DVL last week, the stock was like 1 cent, went to 27 cents intraday. Now I'm thinking, I'm watching the screen going, who is buying this? And all I was praying is, I hope it's not mums and dads who have seen someone on Twitter put a little rocket and a code saying, that's a great idea, let's buy this, or getting a phone call from one of their friends who doesn't know anything about the stock market. You know, one's a builder, one's a painter. Painter's like, oh, my friend told me to buy the stock. You should buy it as well. Da-da-da, with no actual knowledge or experience in the stock market. That stock went to 27 cents, and I don't know what it's back at right now, 1 or 2 cents, is back to where it was. So, yeah, there's a lot of money to be made. Someone made money on the way up, but someone's losing a lot of money on the way down. And it's usually people don't have much experience or knowledge in this space. One of my one thing I do, my stupid test, my silly test, is the trade silly? Is I usually use brokers, right? But if you don't have one, if you just want to use ComSec or E-Trade or SelfWealth or whatever, whichever platform you're on, whatever idea you have, whatever someone's told you to do, go find anybody and explain to them out loud why you're going to buy a stock. And if the only reason you're going to buy the stock, the only reason you're going to do it is to make money, then you really need to sit back down and go, okay, what are the catalysts to make money? Like, what is a company going to do that's going to make me a profit? Why would the valuation go up? Yeah, it's my silly test. My background, I've got, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 brokers I talk to. I've got 3 corporate deal makers that I deal with every day. But these are people who are specialists. So when they call me, I know they've already done a whole bunch of DD before it gets to me. When you're sitting at home just looking at someone writing something on Twitter, you just take it as a grain of salt, go and do your own homework, try and understand why. And the most important thing I want people to understand is when you buy something, when you're going to buy a stock, firstly, think of your time frame. Like, how long are you happy to hold that position? And usually a time frame should be centered around some catalyst. So something's going to happen. And I mean, I'll use an example. What stock? Anyway, I'll use an example of something I bought recently. Blaze. There's a catalyst coming. So, and I warn people, do not be afraid of companies raising capital. So Blaze last week goes into trading halt. The MD and myself and another deal maker that I deal with get on a call and we're like, run us through why you need the money and what you're going to do with it, right? So he brings up a chart, goes, we bought this ground, it's south of Mount Magnet, and I know that region of the world pretty well. So I explain the structure, explain the strategy, and tell us where your drill program was going to be. So once he goes through it all and we understand, we're like, okay, there's a massive catalyst, there's upside in this, risk reward is in our favor at this point and at this price, and the catalyst will be those results. Now, if you're not doing that kind of homework, if you're not understanding why you're buying a stock, you're probably not going to do well. Like at some point, it's going to go against you. And my time frame, once I'm there, I'm kind of there. So I have to believe in management. If this doesn't work and if the probability goes against us, then at some point in the future, I know that team is probably going to come up with another project that I will be happy to invest in. You definitely need catalysts. And I don't say yes to everything, believe me. I'm just giving examples and you only hear about the ones I say yes to. Anyway,
I guess one of the problems, I was just going to say, one of the problems, of course, for the smaller investor is they don't have the access to, you know, that knowledge bank you were referring to. So I was wondering, are there some simple techniques, perhaps always trade on a stop loss basis, always sell half if the stock doubles, those sort of tactics to protect you from the downside?
See, for me, it's very different. When I'm in a stock, I'm such a large size, I really can't sell until it turns into like a Bellevue. And there's only small instances. And don't get me wrong, I will sell the share if management dumps something I don't like, if I don't trust them, if something's gone wrong, then I don't care what the share price is doing or what they've done. I will sell. But for a smaller investor, it's just portfolio risk. Like, how much money do you have? What are you willing to lose? Because it's you're in a spec exploration, gold exploration, or whatever mineral or commodity they're looking for, exploration space. There's a high probability they're not going to find what you want them to find. So understand, when you put that money in, there is a probability that it's going to be worth less. There's also a high probability it's going to be worth a lot more. It's the small end, high risk, high reward. So don't put in more than what you expect or are comfortable giving away. But also understand that when it goes right, my personal opinion, I have made most of my money by not selling early. Ever since I was little, it's when I was younger. When I first stock market, I sold, I didn't sell. And in the first instance, it doubled. And usually, again, in the small space, as you know, Barry, volatility is massive. I watch a stock go from 5 cents to 20 cents, back to 11 cents, back then to 30 cents, back to 22 cents. And it's, you know, all the way up. So we ride that volatility without having that emotional going, oh my God, I'm scared. I got to get out. As long as the catalyst is still there, then there's that much of a reason to sell.
Yeah.
But again, what I would do, if you've got no experience, and I'm not talking to people who are trading day in, day out and do this for a living, just the people that are new to the market, first time, go and find a stockbroker, and you don't have to use the first one you speak to. You can call a couple of different firms, and within the different firms, there's brokers that specialize in certain things. Find someone you like talking to, that you enjoy speaking with, that you think actually understands and probably cares about you as well.
Yep.
And that'll make a world of difference.
Okay. All good advice there, Tolbert. Now, you mentioned Bellevue on the way through, raising $120 million. What's your view of the way things are going there?
And Steve Parsons and that team, and Luke, have done an amazing job. You know, it wasn't too long ago. It was 2 months ago. This thing was 30 cents and, you know, BlackRock taking cornerstoning a $30 million raise. Fast forward 2 months, and they're now raising $120, $130 million to go and build this thing. The indicated resource came in significantly higher than what the market expected. And it seems like, you know, I've got this running joke with him. Show me more visible gold, please, Steve Parsons. And basically every hole these guys drill is coming in just like that. So they've had another discovery to the north. It will be a producer, and he's raised the funds now to effectively to guarantee that. And he's in such a strong position. And I'll go back to an example of me selling. Like right now, I bought my average price in Bellevue, I don't know, 3 or 4 cents or something. Right. And I, as part of this process, I was bid for my entire block of stock.
Okay.
So once they raised that $120 million, the institutions obviously had significantly more demand. I got a phone call from two different brokers wanting to know if I'll sell my entire parcel. Obviously, my answer is no. I think the stock's going significantly higher. But I do sell, you know, a small parcel here and there when I feel like it. And that's obviously to invest in other things and do the rest of the things that I do with my life. It's just the fact that I'm selling bits and pieces. It doesn't mean I don't like it. I've got, you know, 40-something million shares in this thing. So at some point, the other advice I've got is you don't eat share scripts. You need money to survive. Bellevue. But again, it's my personal opinion. It's my understanding of the market. You know, everyone else might have a different view, but it's,
Okay. Now, last time we caught up in early June, you mentioned Alderan, AL8, was about 6 cents, I think, at the time. It's pretty much doubled since you mentioned it. What do you hear is going on there? You still keen on the stock?
I said it's the highest conviction that I have over for the next 12 months. And the stock went from the time we spoke about 6 cents, went all the way to 23 or something and back to 12 now. But the company's catalysts haven't been even started to be hit. They haven't started their drill program yet. They don't have any information back from Rio just yet. So Rio Tinto's been drilling there, and at some point, I'm sure they'll let them know what's going on. There's the projects that I want them to drill. I think they're just doing the background work now, right now, to put everything in place that they're comfortable. People ask me about why the share price has gone up and then down. And the catalysts haven't even started to be hit. And my time frame is at least a year. It was interesting. Someone quizzed me the other day. You know, I must have got in a lower prices. I bought Alderan at 20 cents at the IPO.
Yep.
I bought it at $1 a share on the first run up. It's going back 2 years ago now. It went all the way to 270. I didn't really sell. I didn't sell. Put more money in at 20 cents again. Put more money in at 3.2. Put more money in at 1.5. Put more money at 5. Then I was buying on market up to 9 cents. And I'm at 19.9%, so I can't buy anymore. So, like I said, it's my time frames are different. So these are the kind of risks that people need to understand.
Continuing to support a company. Yeah, well, there's a stock that demonstrates to those small investors that are now storming into the market that there is volatility both to the upside and the downside. And sometimes, though, persistence will pay off. Now, something new. I understand you've taken a bit of a shine to Rare X. The ASX code is REE, or Romeo Echo Echo, New South Wales Copper Gold Explorer. Why do you like that one?
I'll explain the process of me getting involved in this thing. Got a phone call from one of my brokers at Canaccord, and he was just mentioned in passing, telling me really exciting. They'd, come out with a drill hit. So they're a joint venture partner, Kincora, which is listed on the TSX, owns 65% of it. They came out with a drill hit, but they didn't announce the results. They just showed the core, spoke about the mineralogy, and it looked interesting. I didn't buy the stock there and then. I was like, let me do some more homework. Randomly, I was going through my LinkedIn messages, and the CEO of Kincora 2 days earlier had said, had sent me a message saying, "Tolkien, can we catch up for a call?" He ran me through it. Incredibly conservative with the way he messaged it to me. Incredibly conservative. But then he spoke about a gentleman called John Holliday, who's one of those respected figures. He found Cadia. He's basically the leader that discovered Cadia back in the days. And he had a podcast. So John had a podcast a couple of days later, which I listened to, just about his history and the strategy of when they discovered Cadia. And I'm like, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. He's got incredible amount of knowledge of the region. On the back of that, I was like, I actually like this. Went back to the Kincora CEO, MD, and just verified everything that he was saying and what John was saying on the podcast. Got a phone call from the Canaccord broker again the day after, say, look, we're looking to do a raise. Are you interested? I said, you know what? I won't put a lot of money in, but I'll be there just to keep my foot in the door. And so I took the placement at 5 cents. They announced drill hole, the first drill hole. There's a couple of drill holes coming. They announced one of the drill holes, which came up interesting. It's not the discovery hole. It's actually nice. So the stock break came back on the screen. I went back on the market and I started buying more on the screen. And now it's a matter of waiting for the next few holes. So it's interesting. It's exciting. Is it a long-term hold for me? I don't know. But in terms of people understanding the process that I go through to actually make an investment, that's a perfect story.
Yeah. Interesting too there that you mentioned as early information flow came from LinkedIn and a podcast. So you don't necessarily just sit back and wait for an ASX announcement nowadays, do you?
No, if you wait, then it's too late.
That's right. Often, yeah.
No, you need to be on the ball, and especially with the podcast and stuff. If you're going to do something, do your homework quickly because everyone else is doing the same. And this is the difference between having brokers and I talk about buying online and ComSec, whatever, you're probably paying 0.1%. I don't know how much you can pay. I've never used it, but I'd rather pay someone a percent or half percent and get that phone call for the next opportunity than get it early than be sitting back and waiting for, someone to tell me about it.
Anyway. You get what you pay for.
Isn't that in life, You always get what you pay for.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Victoria got a gold boom going on. Three-quarters of the state's, pegged as a result of the wondrous Fosterville operation. Now, I understand you've got that polo farm of yours about an hour and a half out of Melbourne, well, a bit quicker if you've got keys to a Ferrari, I suppose, actually sits on top of an old gold shaft. What's the story there? You're going to float it, sell it to the Canadians?
It's actually quite funny. This is not even a joke. The just literally underneath the house is a at it that goes for about 1.5 Ks. There's a quartz blow that runs through, quartz structure that runs through our property. And yeah, well, most of it's barren. It's not mineralized. You can see that it's not mineralized. Obviously, the old timers once upon a time were mining something underneath our house, and it extends for 1.5 kilometers from the records that we found. So it goes off our property. But yeah, there's a gold rush in Victoria, and there's a pegging rush. Our property actually is pegged. And
Do you know by who?
It's a Canadian listed company that I was doing some homework on, trying to figure out who owned it and what they were doing, what their plans were. But it is exciting. Kirkland Lake, best deposit in Australia, highest grade, spitting out so much cash at the moment. It's reinvigorated the region. You've got Chris Cairns doing fantastic things. You know, there's so much activity going on. I tried to do some stuff just north of Chris with a couple of projects. And it was undercover, and it was a bit of work to do, and it was going to cost him a fair bit of money. So I wasn't too enthused. I won't go into detail about the company, but it is exciting, and there's a lot going on in Victoria. But I don't know, I just haven't found the right asset just yet.
Okay. All righty. Well, thanks, Tolga. You've done everyone a service there, I think, by issuing that warning, telling investors seek out advice. Don't be scared to pay for a bit of advice, because you only get what you pay for. And the updates on Bellevue and Alderaan and the newbie one there, Rare X, is one to watch. So thanks for all that, and look after yourself, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, as soon as we're allowed to.
Very true. Cheers, mate.
See you, bye.